Thank you, everybody. Hi, how we doing? I love this church. I'm 60 years old. I've been going to church for about 4 or 5 times a week for 60 years. I'm usually in about 2 or 3 different churches a week across this country. I work with Pastor Joel Osteen. I oversee the Champions Network of Churches. And I got to tell you, I know this is on Facebook, but I got to tell you, not every church has this kind of love and this kind of good music and such passionate, caring, compassionate pastors that have such integrity in their family, integrity among their finances, integrity among their work ethic, integrity. You know what their greatest? I've heard a lot of Pastor Drew's sermon. He doesn't realize that, but I do go on the podcast. I loved your message on not judging. I love that you kept growing points. You know, it started out as a 4-point sermon, ended up at 6. I like it. I might do that today. But his greatest sermon is his kids. I love Shayla and Megan and Tyler, and they just have a great reflection of Jesus, and I believe in all of them. And it's such a great honor to be here. Thank you. We were here a few months ago, and I don't know whether it was like, I don't know if you're always this way, but I'm going to give you my assessment of you. I enjoyed being here last time, but I feel a quantum leap in unity and in joyfulness and favor. And I'm going to tell you, at the pace that you're at, you will be shocked at where this church will be a year from now. Because there are 400,000 churches in America, and 95% of them are less than 100 people. And when you get a church like this, you're a rare breed, and God is going to bring great favor to you. Amen? So get ready, get ready, get ready. Hey, and I know your pastor brags. I've never met anybody that brags on his wife more than your pastor. I'm telling you. I mean, this guy's obsessed with his wife. But I get that because so am I with mine. But he does challenge me. I'm like, wow, man, I'm gonna love my wife better than I have been. But I'm very proud that she's here today. And please welcome my lovely wife, Jeannie. I want her to say something to you today. Jeannie, come on. Jeannie and I, just so I can say this, Jeannie and I, we pastored together just like your pastors did. It's an incredible blessing. It's a big burden. It costs for your husband and wife to work together, but the church benefits incredibly. So if you keep praying for your pastor, because it takes a lot for them to give to you and work together and then go back and be together, it takes something out of them. Hear me, I'm serious. And they're giving it to you, 2 for 1. And Jeannie and I did that. And so I know the whole dynamic for that. So anyway, she was amazing. Joel Osteen also says, I wouldn't be half the man that I would be without Victoria. I wouldn't tell you what, I wouldn't be 10% of who I am without her. Jeannie, welcome. We're glad you're here at one of America's great churches.
It's a great joy to be with you today. I know that when Pastor Phil was here last time, I think I was sick or something, but I looked forward to being able to come today and just worship with you. You had so many great things to say, and as I was driving up in the rain coming here, getting ready here for the second service, and I said, Lord, you know, what is it that you want to drop in the hearts of the people today? And I just simply heard this out of Matthew, the 11th chapter. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he continues on and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle at heart and I'm lowly. And he said, in that process, you will find rest for your soul. And this morning, I just want to say that to you. You know, when you come into the Lord and you're weary because you've been laboring, if you'll cast that care upon the Lord and then take the yoke of the Lord. And we think sometimes of a yoke as something that you take on and it's heavy and it's challenging. But the Lord says, I want you to come up under my yoke because I want to just steer you so you don't have to work so hard at going where you need to go. The Lord has put things in your heart and dreams in your spirit, and just trying to allow those things to come to fruition. Sometimes it feels like it's harder than it should be, and that it's more work than maybe you want to put forth. But the Lord says today, if you'll give me everything, then take that yoke. It's a yoke of ease. He wants to bring ease to your life today. And that's just simply what I want to say to you today. I know that in the presence of the Lord, you'll find fullness of joy. He'll speak to you. You take that yoke upon you, and he will steer you. It'll come easy for you because he'll direct your steps. He'll give you rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. He says, today, I'm going to give you rest. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Thank you for allowing us to be here. It is our joy, and we are blessed today.
Wow. Thank you, Jeannie. I'm going to talk about worship today, and Jeannie, of course, had that passion of worship, and again, let me just say, your church has phenomenal music, I'm telling you. You should thank God for the music that we have here at this church. It's so encouraging. Jeannie did the worship at our church and has such a passion for worship, so when today I share with you, I know that I bring with me a mantle that was upon her. But we're just honored to be here. We have one of the great heroes of our community with us today. How many's thankful for our first responders, our firemen, our policemen? So one of my dear friends who's traveled the world with me was a great part of our church when we pastored here. And many of you know we pastored in Orange County for 30 years, and now we've been pastorized. Now we help pastor other pastors. But Rudy and Julie, he was an LAX firefighter for 32 years, and now he's doing other great things. Please stand, give my friends a nice welcome. Would you do that? Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. They actually grew up here, Whittier and Pico, so they're like, they're blood, they're part of you all here. I don't know if they were like gangsters or whatever, but they're blood, brother. They're right here with you. Oh, goodness sakes. So I want to talk to you today about prophetic worship. And I'm going to call today's talk today, and I'm going to actually, this will be part two, because I kind of laid a foundation in the first service, and you just have to go back and get that podcast. I'm going to talk to you today about prophetic worship, and what I mean by that is, what is worship, and what is the intent and the purpose of worship? What I hope to help you understand today is that when you worship, it's more than just killing time in church, or it's more than just having good music. That worship actually opens the door to heaven and releases the most powerful force on the earth, and that is the power of the prophetic. Now, the prophetic is not so much the, you know, what's the future going to be like, although it has that, but the prophetic is when God's intention is released upon the earth. And so I'm going to show you that when you worship, you're bumping into something very, very powerful. Let me just say it this way. In the Old Testament, God would do nothing but through a prophet. In other words, you didn't have to guess what God was doing. It's like, what are you doing, God? You would look for the prophet, and the prophet would speak. And God would do nothing until he told the prophet. The prophet would then speak it, and everybody would go, well, we know what God's going to do. Well, in the New Testament, it doesn't work that way. It's been transferred into a thing called the gift of prophecy, which we are all encouraged to do, and I'll show you how that works. And so God says the same thing. I won't do anything on the earth until it's first prophesied. So nothing will happen to you until you first prophesied. That's how you got saved. You got saved because you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart. God didn't save you. How many remember the date that you were saved? On the count of three, tell me the date or at least the year you got saved. One, two, three. You're all wrong. You're all wrong. You didn't get saved. No, you got saved 2,000 years ago. Jesus saved you 2,000 years ago. And it was a trick question, but here's my point. But it did not activate until you prophesied it, until you said, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You kicked it into gear. Today, I'm going to show you that, and we're going to call it prophetic worship, but the title will be Heaven Help Us. Everybody say, Heaven Help Us.
Heaven Help Us.
All right, so I'm going to take you to Revelation the 19th chapter. That's at the back of the book, you know, that book that you never read. Go there with me, please, chapter 19. And while you're doing that, let me just again say how much I love you, love this church. On behalf of Joel and Victoria Osteen and the whole Champions Network of Churches, thank you for being a part of that. I wanted to just give you a warning that when, you know, Pastor Joel, he's an evangelist, and he's out there opening the door. We're now touching 40 million people a month. Half of those are unchurched. And we've already connected 1 million households to local churches in the last 8 years, but that's about to go to a whole nother level. Because when you hear Pastor Joel say, get in a good Bible-based church, right? You're going to see on the television screen the website Find a Church. And when you do, people in this area are going to now go to that website. And when they do, your church is on it. And they're going to start walking in here by the dozens. And I can just tell you, I'm so proud to have your church on that site. So proud. Because I know you're going to make a lot of difference. All right, so let me give you this passage of Scripture here. Excuse me. Chapter 19, verse 10. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, you can read the Bible on the screen. And it says, I fell at his feet to worship him. And this is John saying he was so impressed with the angel that was showing him everything. And the angel said, no, 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 don't do that. Don't worship me. He said, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Now listen to this line. This is going to be important to you. This could be the difference between whether you buy the house or you don't, whether you go in contract in business or you don't, whether you marry that person or you don't marry that person, whether or not you're going to go to this college or that college or a scholarship that might be waiting for you that you're unaware of. All of those things are at issue if you understand this next line. Worship God. Everybody say worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I'm going to tie in together that when you learn how to worship God and testify of Jesus, you're actually tapping into the spirit of prophecy. All right, now let me just back you up also into Revelation chapter 4. If you'll go there with me, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And we just go there on the screen here. And it says, because I don't have my glasses, you know. And I can't really read that anyway. I'm doing it by memory. A few years ago, I told you I'm 60. A few years ago, my wife looked at me and she said, you know what? You're getting better looking every year. I said, woman, I'm taking you out to eat. And we went to a nice restaurant and everything. And then she was looking at the menu and she couldn't read it. So she had to like get these glasses. I'm like, oh God, you're really cool. You know, when you get older, he just fuzzes your eye a little bit. It's like, baby, you're beautiful. Where are you? You know. So anyway, so I couldn't really read that anyway. So he says in Revelation 1, he says, in these things I looked, and behold, standing was open in heaven. Say, open in heaven. What an image. Just capture this. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. That's important. Let me just squeeze in a bunch of teaching here as I'm trying to get to my point. The word trumpet is very important. It's when you hear the word trumpet, it's to connect you to the ideal of the prophetic. Now remember, the prophetic is not necessarily about telling the future. It's about proclaiming. It is about a blast. It is about a piercing sound that makes itself known. So the prophetic is likened to a trumpet. And let me just jump way ahead, and then when I get there, you'll get it when I get to this point. But the Bible is much like a trumpet, and here's my point. The Bible is much like a trumpet. I'm not being offensive, but I am trying to shock you when I say to you that this book has no power to it, all right? It's paper with black ink. It has no power. All right, I got you shocked there, didn't you? All right, now let me tell you why. Because let me just tell you that there's 7 Bibles to every American citizen in this country. It doesn't do any good sitting on the library table or in the bookshelf. All right, here's the thing. It's ink, and it's much like the trumpet that your brother was playing today. Over there, see that trumpet? That trumpet has nothing, no power, until somebody puts their mouth to it and figures out how to blow in it properly to release the sound that's in that. All right? Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that until you know how to speak this word, until you know how to take the ink that's on the white paper, and until you understand how to worship God and capture the spirit, because the letter kills. The letter really doesn't have life. But when you speak the word under the unction of what worship brings you into, it becomes like a trumpet. And it pierces, and it saves, and it heals, and it causes things to shift and to change. And you can do it if you're 11 years old. You can do it. You can do it. In fact, this gift of prophecy, even though today you're going to have an opportunity to attend a class today to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you want to do that because that's for everyone. And so today, come back at 2:30 and we'll teach you how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. From that, you'll get fruit, and from that, you'll get gifts. And of the gifts, the most important gift, even though you will pray in that heavenly language, you'll learn, and that is to prophesy. The Bible says, I would that you could have the gift of healing, the word of wisdom, the gift of tongues. All of these things are great. But what I really want you to desire is to prophesy. What does that mean? That means to speak the word of God with a blast, with a conviction, with an anointing. I'm really getting ahead of myself, but how, are you enjoying it so far? The Bible says that this book was written by holy men of old who did not write just because it was 8 o'clock in the morning and they were writers. They wrote it as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. All right? You with me? All right. So let's continue. So this trumpet thing. And then he heard like a trumpet this sound, and it says, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. So the prophetic gives you clarity. It gives you a perspective. It gives you a sense of what's going on and what's about to happen. And how many know that we need more of an understanding of what God is doing in our lives? See, we love that scripture, all things work to good. We know that all things work to good. But look, if you don't have a prophetic utterance, a prophetic ear, then you don't know. And how many know that when you're going through hell and you don't know, it's not fun? But when you have a knower inside you that says, I don't like where it's going, I don't like what's happening, but I know that this is all going to work to good. You don't panic, right? So it gives you a sense. And then the next verse, you'll like this. And I have to explain this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Everybody say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Now, this is one I have to break down and kind of talk to you. And I don't want to lose you, so stay with me right here. This is a hard one to communicate. Because when that word says, in the Spirit, say with me, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
What does that mean? That's like, what he's saying is, that's a whole language, that's a whole dimension, that's a whole realm that many of us look at that like in the Spirit and we say, what? It's like weird, like, you know, what does it mean to be in the Spirit? And it kind of freaks some of us out. But what I want to try to do is I want to try to make it more comfortable to you. I want you to understand that, first of all, you must understand you are a spirit being. All right? Somebody said, we're not human beings trying to be spiritual. Actually, we are spiritual beings trying to be human. Now, that doesn't make sense a lot because we live in a culture that the enemy uses to numb us from our spiritual sensitivity. Our five senses are so overstimulated with TV and social media and food and posters and everything, advertisement. Everything's constantly stimulating our eyes, our ears, our touch, our taste, that we are constant, that our spirit man is almost numb. In fact, we could be called numb and number. Because we have ignored our spiritual man. We don't even know it's there. So we're living our life carnally. In other words, we're living our life by all the external things. When our spirit man is actually the guidance that we should be following. Because it has the ability to look beyond the temporal and look beyond the external. The spirit man is the true you. You see, when God created you, He made you in His image, which means God is a spirit, so are you. And that's the part you need to be paying attention to. Did you know we give so much attention to this body? But this body, science tells us that the literal physical body is constantly dying and being renewed, so that the cells that make up you, the you now that you can feel, this is me, was not there 7 years ago. And in 7 years from now, not one part of what you will be here. It will be another you. Cells are dying. New cells are being replenished. And oh, by the way, the new cells are the old version. So the skin doesn't come back like a baby. It comes back like a 60-year-old. The point is that this is not you. This isn't you. So thank God that you put on makeup today. Yes. Thank God that you combed your hair today. Thank God that you got a little bit of an ego to give yourself some dignity. But this is not who you are. And you need to be awakened to, I was in the spirit. I was aware. Now, when you become a believer, now your spirit man is now awakened to the things of God. And that is your connection to God. Because God is not a brain that we would come to Him intellectually, although we certainly can be stimulated by the complexity of God. But God is a, say with me, a spirit. Yeah. So the only way you can connect with God is by spirit. He's not a rock. He's not an image. He's a spirit. So if you're spiritually undeveloped, if you ignore your spirit all week, if the only attention you're getting on Sunday mornings is when somebody up here is awakening your spirit, you're going to miss out on the best of life that God has for you. This is why worship is not just a hobby. Worship is what we do. It's who we are. Now, let me try to explain to you what it means to be in the Spirit. Here's a great example. Actually, if I had time, I would walk you through 1 Corinthians 14, but I don't. But in there, it talks about prophecy, and I'll make a few references about it. But one of the things it says, it talks about singing in the Spirit. Say with me, singing in the Spirit. And it says praying in the Spirit. Say praying in the Spirit. Now, then it gives us an incredible analogy. And it says this. For, he quotes from Isaiah, for this is like with stammering lips and with other tongues, I will speak to my people. And here it comes, watch. And this is the rest wherein the weary may rest. Now, there's your analogy. When you sleep, it is like a comparison of what it means to be in the Spirit. Can I break it down for you? All right. How many slept last night? All right. Here's what happened when you slept. When you're conscious and awake like you are now, half of your body, half of your brain is shut down. And the other half of your brain, which is aware of everything, time, space, senses, is active. Now, when you go to bed at night, you shut that part down and awaken another part that's been basically dormant. So you do a switch from externally motivated, externally stimulated, to now, you kind of imagine this. You have a gatekeeper to all of your nerves, right? Here it is right here. All right, it's time to go to sleep. Gate 100 to 363, shut down. Click, click, click. Gates 100 to 263, shut down. Click, 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 click. And what's happening is half of your brain is shutting down so the other half can now come out and go to work. Did you know babies can't grow unless they're sleeping? Because the growth active hormones in the body are engaged only when you're asleep. Not laying down, when you're asleep. Watch this. When you're asleep, you kind of shut down. If you laid in bed for 8 hours conscious, you would not get healed. You would not get rest. You'd wake up just as stressed as you did. It's when you lay down and you shut down and you shut down enough to you go into la la land. And when you go there, you're aware but not really. And when somebody throws a baseball at you and you miss it, you don't flex. Unless one of the gatekeepers wasn't doing their job. And somebody throws a baseball at you and you flex and you hit your wife, you know. Or you wake up and you're like, what? And what happened was one of the gatekeepers, and you can hear it now. I said gate 663 shut down. So that the body can be rest and restored. And during that time, something else is engaged while you're shut down. Get it? That's what happens when you get in the Spirit. You've been all externally motivated all day, and then God says, shut her down and just allow your... And you know how you get into it? You get into worship just like you get into sleep. You fake it until you make it. See, when you went to bed last night, you didn't just go around working, and all of a sudden you just fell out. And somebody had to pick you up and put you in bed. Oh, no. You get into it. You get those pajamas that you probably should have given to Goodwill a long time ago. And you get your cold milk and your warm cookie, or your cold cookie and your warm milk. You get in bed and you turn on your favorite TV show or the one you recorded. And then TBN or Hallmark. And you turn this on. And you go through this routine, and watch me, come on, watch me, tell me this is not true. You actually lay down and close your eyes, and someone says, are you sleeping? No. Well, what are you doing? I'm getting into it. You're actually faking it. But you close your eyes, maybe add a little snore to it, and the next thing you know, gatekeeper, shut her down, click, 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 and there you are. And while you're sleeping, you're being healed. While you're being sleepy, you're getting restored. While you're sleeping, part of you is shutting down, so another, that's what it means to get in the Spirit. It's shut down, close your eyes, open your heart, worship God until you get a witness. I'm in the presence of God. And in those moments, God leads you into that place of prophetic worship. It is in those moments that heaven and earth shift. It is in those moments where heaven can help you. Every time heaven is mentioned in the book of Revelation, watch, it's always not about us going up to heaven. It's about heaven descending, coming to us. Can I tell you that heaven's trying to help you in your marriage? Can I tell you, college students, heaven's trying to help you succeed? Can I tell you that heaven is trying to help you find the access of resources you're lacking? When they couldn't pay the taxes, heaven told the disciples where to go fishing so they could find a job that could pay their bills, or a fish with gold in its mouth. Heaven is not just a place that we're going to go to when we die. Heaven is also a perspective. Heaven is also a presence. Heaven is also a power. Amen. And we need to pray more. Heaven, help us. You're out there without sleep. You're out there beating your brains out. Pastor Jeannie said it so well. Get under the yoke. It's a yoke, but it's not like the yoke of your job. It's not like the yoke of your worry and stress. It's not like the yoke of the world. When you get under his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I'm not yoking with you. I'm telling you the truth.
Stay.
Gotta keep you awake here. No, but it's a process to get under that yoke, because your mind's going everywhere. But when you come to the house of God, heaven is knocking on your door. All of the old hippies used to sing that song by Led Zeppelin. Knock, knock, knocking on. Yeah, I'm just looking for my hippies. Where are you? I heard you. It's really not knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. It's really the other way. Heaven is knocking on your door. And while you're stressing out, heaven's knocking, saying, let me in, because I can give you a perspective. You see, when you come under the presence of God, when heaven comes down, it gives you a perspective to see through things and to see things through. When you come under the presence of God, it gives you the ability to sense things. Now, let me break down worship for you real quickly here as I'm coming to a close. I have four of them. There's my first one. That we use the word worship, but let me break it down. Let's dissect worship a bit. Because worship is actually the climax of a process of getting there. So when we say worship, we're actually including three dynamics to worship. Thanksgiving, praise, then worship. So thanksgiving is the entrance that gets you to the door to heaven's presence, to heaven's perspective, to heaven's foresight, to heaven's prophetic instinct, you see. Then thanksgiving takes you from the gate out of the external, through the external, into the courts of praise. There, when you praise, you open up the heavens. And wherever there is praise, God sets up his camp. He lives. God, where do you live? I live in the praises of my people. If you need God to live at 37 Post Shadow Spring, Texas, you can make that happen by praising. Because where there praise is, God just sets up his throne. Amen? And then comes worship. Now, worship is different. Am I boring you?
No.
Okay. Worship is different than praise and thanksgiving. Praise is when your will is involved, when your emotion is involved. You praise him with your hands. You praise him with your voice. I will bless the Lord. Yes. Worship is when you express your love to God with your spirit. All right? Now remember, all creation can praise God, but only you, human beings, can worship God. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in
spirit.
Yes. So you begin this journey of, now let's break it down another way real quick. Those of you that take notes, let's break it down. Three ways to worship, the pattern of worship, this is found in Hebrews 8, is this: external, internal, eternal. So worship begins with external. Here's the gate. You're out here in the world. Your conscience of the five senses. You're being pulled on. You're being stimulated. You're struggling with. And you come through the gate. Your own flesh, that is the problem, becomes now the solution. The very hands that get you in trouble, and the very mouth that gets you in trouble, and the very flesh that gets you in trouble now becomes the instrument of which will get you out. Are you tracking me? No, I lost you, but watch me. Remember when the brazen serpent killed the people? What did God do? He got the brazen serpent lifted up and said, the very thing that was your problem will be your solution. Remember why God broke, why fellowship was broken between God and man? The flesh? God became flesh, and the problem became the solution. Your hands and your passion that got you in trouble will get you out of trouble if you ever learn how to be what I'm talking about today. Are you tracking me? So now you're thanking him. Then you enter into praise. And then you enter in. External, internal, soul, minds, thoughts, eternal, spirit. Here's another way to look at it. The Bible says in Revelation, of course you know that, you know, I work for Pastor Joel in Lakewood Church, but I'm actually brought to you by the official sponsor of the book of Revelation. I'm bringing Revelation back. But every time God is mentioned in Revelation, he's mentioned in three tense. You're going to like this. A little deep, Go with me. It's going to help you be better tomorrow. So God lives in three dimensions at the same time: past, present, and future. How cool is that, huh? Past, present, and future. Now just imagine what it would be like to live life through the perspective of being able at all times to see past, present, and future. Let's get real carnal here. Imagine being a stockbroker and being able to buy stock based on history, present, future. Huh? Imagine what it'd be like to marry somebody. Before you say yes to marriage, imagine being able to get history, present, future. Looking at that guy, oh, he's my dream man. He picks me up in that nice car, opens up the door, pays the bill at McDonald's, brings me home. I'm like, God, I'm lonely. I'm looking for a man. This has got to be the man. And a preacher gets up there and says, before you do anything, you need to worship God and you need to get in the prophetic. You need to get in the presence of God so you can get a perspective of past, present, and future. Because right now all you can see is the present, and that's being manipulated by your five senses that do not always know what's going on. But if God, if you could learn to worship and you said, man, I'm so happy, I think I'm going to marry this guy. And then you worship, and when you worship, God takes you into the history, your spirit man, and into the present. And all of a sudden, you don't really know this. Your brain doesn't hear this, but your spirit is trying to give you an instinct that says, this dude's trouble. He got a bad past, and he hasn't dealt with it yet. And that car, that's his mother's. So is the couch he's sleeping at, because it's at his mother's in the basement. You know I'm not talking about you, because we don't have basements in California. And that credit card ain't his either. The fact of the matter is this guy's got a lot of trouble, and he's throwing out a game. And if you worship and come into the prophetic, I'll give you eternal eyes to see past the temporal. And it may cost you a temporal tantrum. But God in the prophetic worship will save you a heartache. I would you would all prophesy. So that when you worship. So where is God? Come on, let's do it right. That's the process also of worship. Worship starts with thanksgiving. Go back to where God was. Somebody said, Pastor, you're way over my head. Man, you're so deep. I'm like, Pastor, please, I just wanted three easy steps on how to be happy. You're talking this prophetic and this worship. It all sounds like foreign language to me. It really isn't. I'm awakening something right here. See, I love the story of the four-year-old boy that his three-day-old sister had just brought home, and he sneaks into the bedroom, and the mother's got the door open. What is he doing? And he leans over to his three-day-old sister and says, sis, tell me about God. I've almost forgotten. You see, you are a worshiper, friend. Some way, in a way I can't explain, Jeremiah said, before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. You are a worshiper. You've just let it get distorted, and you've made worry the God that you worship. You've made other things the God you worship, but you are a worshiper. You just now need to learn how to focus your worship to the right person, to the right principle. And I'm just trying to awaken that call in you. And it starts by going back to where God has been good to you. Because if you want to know where God is in the future, you got to recognize him in your past. If you want to know your destiny, you need to find God in your history. Because that's where it starts. The woman came to the pastor and says, this will be my last Sunday. Why? I'm tired of it all. I prayed. Things haven't been happening. Life is rough for me, and I'm tired of coming to church. I'm just tired of all of it. He said, I just wanted to come and tell you this will be the last time you'll see me at church. The wise pastor said, okay, I'm sorry. I recognize you're in pain. Hey, can you do me a favor, though? On your way, let's walk into the auditorium and go by the altar. And on your way out, would you just tell the Lord thanks? I know you didn't get what you wanted, and I know things haven't turned out like you want, but he did some things for you. And just on your way out, would you just give him thanks? And she said, well, I don't see the point in that, but I will. And came to the altar, and she said, thought for a moment. Oh, yes. God, I want to thank you that when my boy was sick and doctors gave up on him, that you healed him. And I want to thank you for that time that they were going to kick me out of my house, and somehow mysteriously the rent got paid and I got to stay in there until I got a better job. And then she started thinking and reminiscing, and the next thing you know, tears coming down her face. And said, thank you, Lord, because you could. And she stopped and she said, I'm all right, Pastor, I'll see you Sunday. Sometimes you have to ask God to roll back the curtains of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remind me I'm human and humans forget. And when you linger in that place of thanksgiving and you can recognize what God has already done, it'll take you into praise. And if you can't recognize what God has already done, you won't recognize what he wants to do. And then when you get past praise, and I don't have time, I got to take you right here to worship. When you get into the place of worship, you've hit the place of the prophetic. And in that place, what you speak will come to pass. In that place, this Bible becomes a trumpet. And it's no longer you just blah, 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 the Bible says, the Bible says, I can be here. The Bible says, my whole household can be saved. The Bible says, no, when you worship, there's something that awakens inside you. And you put your mouth to that word. And like a trumpet, you pierce the darkness. And you awaken the dead bones. And you look at the dead bones of a son who's an addict. And you waken the dead bones of a husband that has never let you talk about Jesus one time. And when you prophesy and you awaken prophetic worship, you will shift things. You will change things. And of the prophet of old, when God said to them, what do you see? And he said, I see dead bones, dry bones. Not just dead, dry bones. And God said to him, will they live again? And the prophet said, only you know. And God said, oh no, you know. Because I've put a prophetic word in your mouth. And if you'll speak it, those bones shall live again. Amen. Beloved. Let me close with this story. I'm not nearly done, but I was honored. Jeannie and I were to be honored to have Oral Roberts as was a member of our church for many years before he passed. And Oral Roberts is misunderstood by a lot of people. If all you know is through the media, you have no idea what an incredible man he was. Laid hands on over 1.5 million people. Jesus didn't even do that. No other human being ever has, nor ever will. Touched that many people. He had such a passion for people to be healed. He had such a passion to build the kingdom. He raised $1 billion in his lifetime and really never owned anything but a condo that he gave most of it to the ministry when he died. This was a man who has shook history. One of the things that he attributed that to was what I'm trying to communicate to you today. He believed it could be debatable, but when you're with Oral Roberts, you just say, hello. But he believed that when you spoke in tongues, you know, when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, many of you are going to get it today at 2:30. When you get this ability to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that after you pray in tongues, he believed that you should wait. And if you do, you'll start getting an utterance of a prophetic word. You'll start getting a sense of what you were praying in the Spirit. God will give you the utterance to start speaking the right thing at the right time based upon your ability to be in the Spirit. All right, whether you agree with it or not, Pastor will correct it all next week. All I know is when I would go over his house, we'd pray in tongues, and then he'd say, what'd God give you? I ain't got nothing. So he'd be saying to me, what'd you get? I'm like, the Lord would say, he is our shepherd and we shall not want. I just did whatever. I never felt anything. I was just obedient. But one day, while Jeannie and I were eating a tuna fish sandwich in his kitchen, and right before we started to eat, he said, let's pray. And we prayed, and he spoke in tongues, and I spoke in tongues, and he said, what did God give you? And a shock of shock right here, I heard like a trumpet, a voice say to me, tell Oral a man's going to write a check for $100 million to Oral you. Well, backstory real quickly. He had paid for all of that. The ministry partners paid for all of it. It was debt-free, but during the tough times, they had to refinance all of the stuff that he had paid for debt-free. And now ORU was in debt $50 million. He left ORU, wouldn't take a dime. And every time you brought up ORU, his heart was broken because he felt shamed. He felt embarrassed. He was hurt. So having said that, having heard that, I thought, oh my God. So I'm like, be cool, Phil, because if you overdo it, he's going to know you were faking it. So I was like, oh, Dr. Earl, I have something. What'd you get? The Lord says that he's going to have a business person write a check for $100 million to ORU. And when I did, Oral Roberts, from the pain of his heart, said, you missed it. I thought, oh my God, I thought he'd be happy. This happened three times. Three times I heard the voice of God right here tell me that somebody was going to write a check for $100 million. Three times I told Oral, and the last time I told him, he took that big hand of his, and he looked at me with stern, and he said, don't you ever bring that up in this house again. Well, to make a long story longer, shorter. Several years now passed. School goes through a painful shaming through the press. Now it looks like not only is the school in debt, but it looks like the school is going to get shut down. The media is mocking ORU. They fire the president. It looks no good. But a very wealthy man reads that ORU is probably going to go bankrupt, and he thinks to himself, I don't know those people, but anyone I've ever hired from ORU has had a spirit of excellence. And I can't see why a school like that that's produced such fruit should have to be shut down. And he said, somebody help me find how to get access to this man. I want to talk to him. Well, a lot of things happened. Oral then said to me one day, come on, we're going to ORU for a big transition. You and Jeannie are going with me. You're my pastors. We got on a plane. They brought a plane to us. We flew to Tulsa. We walked in into the big boardroom. The guys at the back said, you can't come in here. And Oral said, oh, yes, they can. They're my pastors. We went in there. And while we were up there, Mark Green, the vice president, our then president, Stad was the founder of Hobby Lobby, stood up and said, well, sorry for all the construction going on at ORU, but we're redoing everything. And oh, by the way, we just released the final $20 million of a $100 million endowment to ORU. I looked at Oral. He looked at me. The power of the prophetic word. God does nothing on the earth but through the prophecy. When you worship, don't just stop. When you get done worshiping and the heavens are opened and you feel God's presence, don't just change the order of the service. Put a demand on the anointing and begin to prophesy healing. Begin to prophesy financial breakthroughs. Because only when the word, only when moved upon by the Holy Spirit, does the word have power. That's why if you got 30 minutes to study, spend 20 of it worshiping. Because the last 10 minutes will give you more revelation than the 30 minutes of you trying to get your natural eyes to see the unseen. Place your hands over your heart right now. I prophesy over your family today. I'm telling you, when you worship, and you learn how to touch God from your spirit, I want you to learn how to prophesy your children back to God. When you worship, I want you to learn how to prophesy the word of God. I want you to learn how to say, by his stripes, I am healed. Not just any time, but when you're moved upon by the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn to say, I am creative. I am a songwriter. I want you to say, by the Spirit, that God, when he puts those things in you to begin to prophesy, every eye on me with your hands over your heart, I just give you now, I speak over you now, the prophetic worship anointing upon you. And I love to use words, and I close with these words. I want you to prophesy it. Until you can prophesy it. Then prophesy it. And don't let go until it is manifested. Do you receive the word of the Lord today? Do you receive the word of the Lord today? Lift your hands with me right now. Lift your hands. If you're not born again today, this is the time to say, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. And that by prophesying or by saying with my mouth what I believe in my heart, I shall be saved. If you're here today and you're facing barriers and walls that we started this service with, the walls are going to come down. They come down when you learn how to thank him for your past, praise him in your present, and worship him in the realm of the prophetic. When you do that, God will bring great favor. Pastor Tamara and Pastor Drew, would you stand up? Stretch your hands towards them. I've got seconds, and I have to walk away from this pulpit. The Spirit of the Lord is pleased with you both. Tyler, Megan, I don't see Shayla, but she's in the ministry. Just stand. If you're nearby, just stand, Megan. Stand by, Tyler. Stretch your hands towards them. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to say these words to you. I say them in the fear of God. I will not add to nor take away from the prophetic word. But the Lord is pleased with you. He's pleased with you. The Lord would say that as he said to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he says, I see your works, and I see your labor of love, and I am pleased with you. And the Lord says, come into this anointing of ease now. It took a lot of hard work to get here, but it's going to take the prophetic and an anointing of ease to get you where you're going. Because the Lord has shown me that there are going to be people that are going to offer their church buildings and fragment of members. And they're going to say to you, we don't know what to do. And they're going to lay property at your feet. And if you have to labor for everything that you get, you will not be able to keep up with what God's going to bring you in. Because I've been around it. I've seen how God takes people that work hard. I've seen how it goes like this, gradually, then suddenly. From nowhere to now here. And that's about what's about to happen. Now stretch your hands towards them and Lord, I just release this prophetic word and this prophetic worship over this house. For the Lord says, come up here. And let me show you things that are shortly to come to pass. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when I saw it, I prophesy it until I can prophesy it. And I prophesy it until I can prophesy it. And I will not let go. My labor is not in my works. My labor is staying in that place of rest. For favor has now come upon this house in a new and living way. Everybody give God praise. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for acknowledging our whole family in that. Would you turn me up a little bit, I think, unless I'm bad out there? But the work that has taken place, you know, even though you say, well, but they were kids when you came. I know. But even as kids, I have pictures of Tyler. See, we would turn the corner. Pastor Drew would turn the corner here. And in the minute he saw the cross, he would say, Mommy, Mommy, why was that? Because I was here. It was a labor. It was a total restoration that had to take place in just the facility. And we came, and many of you know, it was just myself and Pastor, and we had about a dozen wonderful senior citizens who love God and who wanted to see this church grow. But there was so much construction and work to be done. And they cooked us lunch, and they would clean up with the vacuum cleaner. They'd do everything that they could. But there was much labor to be done. And so my children were very much, they loved being here. Tyler would come, he would always, he loved power tools as a two-year-old. You know, he'd love power tools. He'd grab the drill all the time, just be walking around with a cordless drill and a bottle hanging out of his mouth. And so this was just, this was so much part of them as much as it was us, even though they were so young. And we love being at church. You know what? My whole family, we just love God and love being here. So thank you for including them in the hard work, because, and now they're adult and they serve in ministry, and many of you see that. But this has been going on for a long time. Even when we came here, Tyler was in my womb. I was pregnant with Tyler when we came. And so, and he's 18 now. So it has been a time with the Lord. And God has been faithful to us, and we receive that word, because we know that God has much more to do, and it's just been a beginning. So thank you so much. I wanted to just touch on what Pastor Phil was saying. As you were speaking, I thought, oh my goodness, this is so rich. Like, you can, I hear what he's saying, but then there's just so much there. It's just very, very rich, this praise and the worship that you're talking about. There's so much in it. I want to read you a scripture that came to me as you were preaching. And then you said, I don't understand it. I just came here for this. You know, I just want this simple thing. It is as rich as it is simplicity to just worship God. That is simple. Like, we all know how to do that. You don't have to understand it. As a matter of fact, I don't know that we can conceive it if we even try to sit down for hours and understand and have you teach us. And okay, the best way for us to understand it, and we'll understand it as Rhema, is when we just take that first step, that simplicity of stepping into just a lifestyle of praising and worshiping, and then the Spirit of God will do what he does. And then you'll experience these marvelous things that come from that. So it's just too numerous, the benefits, to tell you. But you can take the first simple step and then let the Holy Spirit do what he does. As you were preaching, 2 Corinthians 2:14 came to me, and I want to just read you this scripture. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. What God wants to do, he is so, we are a sweet aroma to him, the Word of God says. And as we don't have to graduate from theological school. We don't have to, you know what, have degrees. Here's here's the simplicity of it. We ask him to be our Lord, and then we begin to just worship and love him. And that worship will lead you to places and knowledge and all kinds of wonderful gifts that God has for you in your life. And gifts of, do you know what a gift it is to be able to minister to someone who's in need of something? Or to be able to have words, a prophetic word that just absolutely impacts their life as God reveals himself to them through you. This is really inconceivable that we have an opportunity to be those instruments for God. But it is truth. And all we need to do is to participate, you know what, with the Spirit of God as we just do the simple things, which is to just love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Come into his presence, and that presence changes you, and then you will change others. What a great scripture. I'm going to put that one on close.
Timothy is, or Paul is writing Timothy, and here's what he says to Timothy. He says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. See, there's this reality that God wants you. Like, can I tell you what? God wants you to make a difference in your family. He wants you to make a difference in your work. Your life is significant. God wants your life to have much significance. Every single one of us. And he gives us a plan. And he'll speak to you prophetically. The Bible says that through the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. And so you already see it. That's how Jesus walked. Is that not right? He said, I do nothing but that I see it by my Father first. And that's what we can have. You say, Pastor, I don't know all that stuff. It's exactly what Tamara said. Can you worship? Because if you worship, man, this stuff just flows. You know, it doesn't even make, you're like, I don't know how I knew that. But all of a sudden, I knew something. And can I tell you what? God's not, yes, but I'm not a pastor. It don't make any difference. God's not a respecter of persons. God loves you as much as he loves me.